What's all this research that you're doing have to do with infrastructure? You know, what's the big picture? What's the connection here?
We're trying to look at infrastructure and say, okay, this is standard practice right now. And this is how we maintain our buildings. This is how we maintain our roads. This is how we construct things to a certain code. And we're trying to take that one step further and identify better practices, ways and focusing mostly on reducing the carbon footprint of those. So, you know, you have buildings consume so much energy. If we construct them in a certain way using better techniques or better materials, you know, how much what can we save on the carbon footprint? And the same with pavements. Pavements is a maintenance problem where we have large amounts of deteriorating roads. We need to figure out the best way to maintain those roads and what the best materials, again, to use. And we have quite a diverse set of skills here. We have architects working on the building, some people with construction backgrounds. We have I'm a civil engineer. I have a background in pavements. We also have a large team of material scientists and chemists that are working to reducing emissions and increase sustainability from a atomic level and trying to make better materials that fit into that help durability and potentially increase properties such as thermal mass. And so we're trying to attack this problem from multiple directions because there's a lot of areas for improvement within the building and pavement life cycle. So it requires a diverse set of skills in order to fully capture all of those.
We don't really think about the way in which we do those things. No one hears the discussion of infrastructure says, you know, let's try to figure out scientifically how to do this better. You never hear that conversation. So that's really what you're involved in, right?
There's a lot of things we can do incrementally to change the way to change the footprint of our infrastructure. You know, for pavements, we can just change the timing of when we close the roads down, for instance. You know, if we start closing them down at night when there's less traffic, that will save a large amount of carbon. I would consider that an incremental change. This is something that can be done from a management perspective. It's just using better decision making, I guess, from an environmental perspective. And when we start to talk about new materials and new designs for things, these are more major steps, I would think. And this is kind of the next frontier, I guess. You know, designing for sustainability rather than just taking what you have and trying to optimize that, but instead thinking from the initial concept phase and saying, okay, well, how do we design a building? How do we design a road so that it has a low footprint throughout its whole life, rather than trying to, build the design for cost and then try to change it from there.
Are we really talking about incremental refinements, or are we talking about whole new ways of building things?
I think we take a larger scale look than maybe industry might, for instance. You know, I don't want to speak for industry or government, you know, on their behalf, but the stuff that we're trying to do is think outside the box a little bit and identify where in the life cycle can we find improvements. And this is a good place to do this because we have access to academics have asked to access to a lot of the best cutting edge science, for instance. And a lot of times when you're talking about reducing emissions, you're not talking about just taking the best materials that are out there, but we're trying to find new and better materials. And we're trying to push the boundaries of what traditionally was or were the ways to reduce your footprint. So, you know, at this point, we've developed models here as well as other people in different institutions. They take a life cycle perspective at these issues and are looking for opportunities for impact reductions. They take a look at the entire life cycle. And developing these models is a difficult process. There's so many different things you have to think about. You're talking about a pavement that lasts for maybe 40 or 50 years until it's finally taken out of service and rebuilt. You know, a lot of things are happening during that time. And in order to fully account for all those things, we have to develop models that will account for that, account for where emissions are occurring throughout the whole life cycle.
Why is sustainability such a built-in part of these discussions? How is that now such a main thread as opposed to simply durability and cost?
When we talk about sustainability, we often talk about things like the triple bottom line and things like this. So cost is always going to be important. When we talk about sustainability here, define sustainability in a number of ways, but you know, from an environmental sustainability perspective, we're trying to identify things that reduce emissions, but also save costs. It's important to understand that, you know, decisions are made based on how much they cost. We can develop very, very, very good technologies and good processes to reduce your carbon emissions, but if these aren't cost competitive and we can't find them ways to get into the marketplace, then they're not going to be effective because they're not going to be used. So, you know, we try to use techniques that are both cost effective and environmentally effective.
Can you give me an idea what life cycle budgeting for infrastructure is?
When I think about life cycle budgeting, I'm just thinking about not focusing on the initial cost as the only cost that we have. When the agency decides to build a pavement, for instance, if there are costs other than just the initial cost of putting it down, if you're deciding between two different alternatives, you have to think about, okay, well, this one may cost $1 million to put down, and the next one may cost $1.2 million to put down. But there's things that happen after we put it down. You know, one might have a service life of 20 years, the other one has a service life of 30 years. So how do we weigh these two things together? So we talk about life cycle budgeting. We're thinking about, okay, well, there's different maintenance plans for each one of these. They have different service lives. How do we balance this all out? How do we balance this out in a yearly annual budget perspective? And how do we do it from a total cost perspective? And then we also look at things like user costs. You know, our pavements are public infrastructure, and we have users that need to use them.
It is one of the goals to be able to reduce the costs involved in maintaining infrastructure?
Industry, government, everyone wants to, you know, we want this infrastructure to serve the public well. We want our pavements to be there for a long time and have good serviceability properties. We want our buildings to be very durable and safe and have them to be low energy buildings, working towards things like carbon neutral buildings. This is the goal and objective that everyone's trying to reach, and everyone does it in a different way. And here at our research is focused on doing it from life cycle perspective and focusing on the entire life cycle, not just the materials that go in and out, but you know, everything that's happening while it's used. And this is everyone's goal, I believe, is to just reduce the amount of resources that are needed to maintain the proper serviceability for all of our infrastructure products. So when we talk about improving the knowledge and making a better infrastructure, this is not something that can be done by academics alone. Of course not. You know, a lot of the improvements are done by industry and the people that are out there practicing. And this is where a lot of the revolutions are occurring. The hope is that, you know, by investing money in research and a better scientific understanding of improving our infrastructure, this is adding another tooth to our toolbox and saying, okay, we're gonna try to improve all this stuff, not just by incremental improvements that we might find out in the field, but also trying to look at cutting edge revolutionary science in order to help this as well. And this is not just happening in academics. And you look at the cement and concrete producers around the world, and they invest heavily in research as well. So the fact that we're trying to improve our infrastructure from using multiple organizations, public organizations, private organizations, academics, this is important.